Hello, one and all, and welcome to Mage Hand High Five, Carnival of Craven. Ooh. I am your keeper, Robin Langenhop, and with me, ranked from least to most likely to have a bad time at an amusement park, Max Weinberg.
Oh, okay. Hello, I'm Max Weinberg, and I'm playing CJ McAllister.
Yeah!
He survived. And
somehow,
I'm not a big fair person.
I definitely jumped into this having no idea what the actual answer to these questions are. Next up, Casey Pappas.
Yeah.
Wait, least to most likely to have a good time?
To have a bad time.
To have a bad. Oh, so I'm having a great time.
You are.
I think that works. I'm eating way too much junk food to the point that my tummy is going to start a revolt later. And I think my character, Eddie Hiller, would be doing the same.
Oh, he lives.
He's back.
He's back, at least for now.
But is he?
Next up, Rowan McStay.
Hi, I'm Rowan McStay, playing Landemar. And I love an amusement park. I love a roller coaster. I love a thrill ride. But I am really anxious with crowds. So I think that's probably right in the middle is probably the best place for me. And I think Lane would maybe have a worse time than me.
Decidedly so. And last and certainly not least, our returning guest player, Imani Russell.
Hello. My name is Imani Russell. For half of the time during this session, but for the other half, my name is Orly Copeland.
There it is.
I missed this.
And I actually really love amusement parks, but they also freak me out. So I'm just sort of teetering on a panic while I'm there.
Nice.
So for anyone who didn't realize already, this is a sequel. This is a sequel to our two-parter last Halloween of Terror at Camp Craven. We will be returning to the same characters and the same story as we did in the previous game, but with an entirely new system. Originally, we were playing kids on bikes, but this time, since our adventurers are a little more well-seasoned, they know what kind of badness is out there in the world, and they're a little bit smarter and well-prepared, we are going to be using a game called Monster of the Week by Michael Sands. It's a pretty simple system. Instead of a whole range of dice, you just roll 2 6-sided dice anytime you want to do something. And if you get a 10 or higher, things go really great. If you get a 7 to 9, it's kind of a mixed success. And if you get a 6 or below, it doesn't go great and something bad might happen. You have different types of abilities like cool, sharp, tough, charm, and weird. If you want more detail on how Monster of the Week works, go ahead and take a look. We'll have a video link in the show notes that you can learn more about the game. And if you have not listened to Terror at Camp Craven, that's a choice. I mean, we will spoil things, but if you just want to join us here, go for it. If you want to see if you want to listen to the previous bits, go for that too. I'm easy. Do what you like.
Is your motto in college?
So many.
Feel free to make your inappropriate comments now. All right, everybody.
Oh,
are
no.
we ready to do this?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, let's go.
All right. Without further ado, let us return to that night at Camp Craven. Darkness. More than anything, Edward Hiller, you feel overwhelming darkness. Sure, the heat from the still-burning school bus warms the side of your face. Sure, you hear your friend's screams in the distance. You hear a gunshot ring out across the camp. You feel the tickle of the grass across your fingertips as you lay on the earth, unable to move. You feel the slow trickle of blood from the wound on your head. You even see the stars looking down on you. More stars than you've ever seen in your life. But mostly, you just feel the darkness. A lumbering figure approaches from the infirmary. It's breathing haggard and raw. It spreads its large gossamer wings and attempts to fly, but cannot rise above the ground. Its sickly, purple-green skin has grown ashen as it hacks and sputters, a pill of cold iron lodged in its throat. The figure you once knew as Sammy Kent drops to its knees beside you, and through the darkness you feel its many eyes staring down at you.
Eddie. You got me, Eddie. But
hey, Boop Kid.
You cannot respond, Eddie.
Oh.
Your defense mechanism, your safety in the jokes, is not available to you as this horrid shape looms over you.
But I got you too in my own way, didn't I?
You feel Sammy's long fingers trace across your face, a jagged fingernail catching on your lower lip.
Eddie, I've got one last Hail Mary. The football star doesn't know I'm me. He may be my ticket out of here. But if that doesn't work, I need you to take care of something for me, Eddie.
Uh-uh.
Can you do that for me, Eddie?
Uh-uh.
Eddie. Open wide, Eddie.
The fingernail slowly pulls open your mouth, but you cannot move. You cannot resist. Sammy's hand moves down from your mouth and closes around your throat as it hacks and retches over your open mouth. Out of its mouth comes not the iron pill, but a cocoon, long and black, which falls from Sammy's mouth down, 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 and into yours. You wake up with a start, coated in sweat, alone in your bedroom, safe and sound, nor as safe as you've ever felt in the past year since that horrible night at Camp Craven. But hey, it's the summer of 1998.
Oh no.
It's the time of bucket hats and blue eyeshadow, of Cosmopolitans and Crystal Pepsi.
Oh.
Titanic has swept the Oscars. Celine Dion and her little penny whistle have dominated the music charts. And every fifth grade girl who was absolutely too young to see that movie has changed their name cards on their desks to say DiCaprio.
Ah.
76.3 million people watched a fictional Jerry Seinfeld go to prison.
Oh, yeah.
Curling makes its debut at the 1998 Nagano Olympic Games. Chapel Roan is born in Missouri. And President Bill Clinton is embroiled in scandal for being a total perv.
Oops.
But hey, none of that matters to you right now. You are laying, still drenched in sweat, in your bedroom. You hear a little knock on the door, and from the other side of the wood, from the other side of the Jim Carrey in the mask poster that you have put up on your wall.
Smoking.
Hey, kiddo, you doing okay in there? I heard some noises. Everything all right?
Yeah. You know, I just had a nightmare about the end of Armageddon. You know, like the Bruce Willis dies. I haven't gotten over it yet.
You know, I know we've been having these blockbuster movie rental nights lately, and I just can't wrap my head around why they would send oil drilling people up there instead of, you know, actual astronauts. It doesn't really make any sense.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Dad, for once in our lives, I'm right there with you. I don't think it makes sense that they didn't train some astronauts to drill. It seems like that would be the easier thing of the two things to do the thing.
Oh, kiddo.
But, you know, listen, Michael Bay knows best.
The fact that you... kiddo, the fact that you just agreed with me on a subject both makes me want to jump through this wall and give you a hug, and also wondering what happened to you. You have been acting a little weird lately. It's like you had some kind of bug up your, I don't want to mention it, but didn't want to bother you or anything. Just wanted to say that that thing with your pals is today. Do you need a ride? You want me to drive you over?
The thing with the
yeah,
with the, can I read my dad's thoughts?
Oof.
You know what, Eddie? Ooh. You can.
Yup.
So this will be our first roll of this episode.
Ooh.
Why don't you roll me to, I believe this is a use magic, correct?
Yes.
All right, so roll plus weird.
Ooh, first roll of the game, and it's already a bad omen. Snake eyes.
Oh, no.
Okay, on a double one, you concentrate. I think on some level you have known in the past year and have come to discover that you have gotten a little stranger since your time at the camp, and that certain abilities have become accessible to you. Over the time of you recuperating in the hospital, healing from your wounds, other things have come into focus. So you concentrate, think about your dad on the other side of the wall, but the voice in your head is not your father's voice. You hear,
hey, Eddie.
Ah. Kiddo, what's going on in there? What's up? And before you can respond, your mouth opens up without your control, and you say,
fuck off, you dirty bastard. Oh, that was rude.
Well, I'll be downstairs when you're ready to go. And you hear your dad walk away.
That was a Bible verse. Shit.
All right, we drift off. We travel across town to the other end of Huntington Village, which you all call home. And we go to the home of the McAllister family.
Oh, yeah.
Cauliflower.
CJ, you wake up this morning and you hear the music that comes on when you know that your dad and your sister are in a particular mood. So you hear this wind chimey sort of... and your door just opens up and your sister, Chrysanthemum Jasmine McAllister, she comes in with...
She's also CJ.
Yes, she is also CJ. She comes in, her hair is this voluminous mess of curls that has never been cut. It goes way down past her ass, but she's like, hey, kiddo,
I'm just 10 minutes younger than you.
And that's why you get to be kiddo. Because as much as you're 10 minutes younger, physically, mentally, you're like, I don't know, like a 7-year-old. And I am spiritually 107.
Chris, just get out of my room.
Okay. Just know that your friend Zora is already here and has been here for 90 minutes. Bye.
Wait, why is Zora here? Wait. Why is Zora here?
Oh, what? Oh, Jedediah must not have told you, but there's an intervention.
Just call him Dad.
Yeah, he sent letters out. Actually, he physically delivered them to everyone's houses to organize this sort of anniversary get-together. He didn't tell you because he figured you just wouldn't let him do it. So, yeah. Bye! And she floats out of the room.
CJ, as he gets ready for the day, turns on his cassette player, which has What's This Life For by Creed playing.
All right.
And, you know, a little update on CJ. Because of that shoulder injury from camp, he wasn't able to play football again and lost his chance to go play for his dream college. So he's had to come up with other outlets for his enthusiasm and anger. So over the last year, he's gotten a little obsessed with the idea of hunting monsters. So he goes and pulls up a loose floorboard to reveal the gun from Mr. Peel.
Oh my God.
And says, "Don't worry, Zip. We'll get him next time."
The gun is named Zip, as in like the Zips, like the team that CJ wanted to be on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Are there really any other choices for the name?
Oh no.
Oh Lord.
Zora.
Hi.
You've been downstairs in the living room for 90 minutes. You're sitting there with your little fine china cup of tea that was handed to you when you first arrived. Jedediah's been up since 4, so it's totally fine. But it's just you and Jedediah with this music that has been going. You're not sure if it's just one song, but he's had to flip the tape over a few times to continue it. Have you drank any of the tea?
I probably took a sip just so he could see that I took a sip, so he didn't think that I was being disrespectful. But I don't think that I've drank much. It's probably cold, but it's just in my hand by now.
Perfect. Jedediah McAllister is sitting across the room from you with his own tea that he has refilled, you know, 6-7 times already. And it's been quiet for a while now. But he finally chimes in and says, "So your father's mayor. That's interesting.
Ooh.
I actually have some thoughts about the DARE program. If he might be interested. I feel like the idea of just saying no across the board is somewhat reductive, because there are some psychotropic enhancements that can be gained from particular mushrooms. I'd love to set up a meeting with your father to get into the, let's say, the nitty-gritty, as you kids call it, I'm sure.
I'm not sure what kind of influence you think I have in my father's office. I'm 16.
Oh, I assumed you're a very influential individual.
I mean, I did just graduate from Mastermind Academy, where we become physically present through mixed martial arts and also achieve a sort of therapeutic mindfulness. But unless you want me to sort of connect with my father in some sort of like empathetic way or put him in a headlock, there's nothing that I can really do here. I'm so sorry.
I do believe that a headlock would be a wild escalation. I wonder when it... CJ? CJ? As Jedediah reaches out, hoping that his son will just suddenly be there and make this awkward situation a little less awkward.
Give me a minute, Dad. God, peeing.
Lane, how long does it take you to get to this meeting?
Oh, God, how long do I have?
I mean, you know what? Come to think of it, you don't really have that much control over when you go to this meeting, because
that figures.
You're, as much as he'd like you to call him your stepdad,
no,
it's not quite legal yet.
No. Oh. No. Robin, no, not.
You're being driven by your mother's new boyfriend, Clifford Cliff Carpenter.
No. No, no, this sucks so bad. Oh my God, no, this
as
sucks.
As he drives you in the newly repaired vintage recreation of the car from the vacation movies.
Steely, this sucks so bad.
Oh my God.
If I have to go anywhere with Cliff, I took as long as possible to get ready. And I think Lane over the last year has gotten a little bit cagier. Their anxiety has very much gotten the better of them. They've had a few more panic attacks in places they couldn't avoid. And I think the general consensus amongst people who don't know any better is that they might be high on their own supply. And so I think Lane gets dressed in their Chucks and Henley and just like the huge, and then puts like a couple of little throwing knives throughout their person and packs a couple of weapons just in case some weird shit happens again and they're not prepared this time. And in the car, I think Lane's sitting in the back and is just like, Cliff, where are we going?
Well, I have to say that I figure when I gave you the plate of muffins to hold while we drove that you'd know that we were going to a little event. It's going to be, you know what?
It's
going to be great.
Cliff, you give me a plate of muffins every time we go anywhere. You gave me a plate of muffins last time you and Mom brought me to therapy and made me talk with you.
It's polite. You bring muffins places. And you know what? That's how I got my therapist to not quit me the last four times.
Oh my God.
Those are some high value muffins.
Okay, I will say it looks like these muffins are a little bit more expensive than the ones you usually get. So this might be like a higher stakes situation for you. Where are we going?
So we're going to a bit of an event. We're going over to CJ's house. See, I'm calling him CJ now. I've learned my lessons.
What are we doing at CJ's house? Why am I going to see? Oh shit. What?
It's about camp, Lane. We're going to talk about camp.
At the mention of camp, I think Lane's like heart rate starts elevating and their breath starts getting shallow and their hands start getting numb and cold.
Roll act under pressure.
That's an 8 actually.
8 is not terrible.
That's a 9 minus 1.
You have two options here. You can either have a light panic attack, but keep it hidden from Cliff, or be able to tamp it down, but Cliff notices.
I think I'll tamp it down.
Okay. You having a little bit of a butterfly situation?
I'm
fine.
You
got some flapping around in there?
No, Cliff, I'm fine. We don't need to talk about that. You and I don't talk about that.
All right. Well,
do you know if Hiller's going to be there?
I believe that everybody's going to be there.
Okay. Can we just, like, not talk until we get there?
Yeah, Lane. We don't have to talk. And you drive over, and one by one, everyone arrives at the McAllister house. Does anyone have a particular moment that comes up as you all gather?
Lane?
Hey, Siege.
Why is Cliff here?
I brought muffins!
Okay, listen, you have to promise not to make this weird. If I tell you, will you promise not to make this weird?
Yeah, sure.
Dude, he's like dating my mom.
Cliff is fucking your mom?!
No, it sucks, man.
Holy
it sucks.
Shit.
Shut up, dude. It's really fucking bad. Oh, hey, Hiller.
Hey.
How's it going, man?
Good.
Oh, shit. It's so good to see you. I saw you at Armageddon, but I don't know if you saw me. I just, like, I saw you and I tried to kind of wave.
Oh, that's crazy. I was so busy focused on Liv Tyler.
Oh, that's fair.
Armageddon is required viewing for this episode.
That's fair, man. I mean, so is everybody. You know, it's the whole, like, I think in the silence that follows him saying Liv Tyler, Lane fills it by going, I don't want to close my eyes. So, yeah, it was a good movie, huh?
I think Hiller, in the awkward silence, turns to Cliff and goes, Clifford, you big red dog, what the hell are you doing here?
Cliff says, hey, kiddo, would you like a muffin?
I'm going to keep it real with you. No.
Dude, honestly, it'll be kind of easier if you just take the muffin. He kind of doesn't let up.
No, Lane, you know what? It's okay. I have turned over several new leaves, and I have dealt with my anger issues. So, you do not have to eat a muffin.
Okay, I have suspicious mind to know if someone's lying.
It's not a lie per se. He is trying desperately to make it true.
Okay. Wait, hold up. What's Zora doing?
Yeah, where's Zora Lee Copeland?
Zora Lee Copeland is currently just sitting there, very stone-faced, puts down her cup of tea, and just slowly stands up and says, "Excuse me, the invitation said 10 a.m. It is 10:05. Can we begin?"
Jedediah stands up and says, "Zora, I appreciate your desire to begin. I don't keep clocks in the house, so I'm never entirely certain what the human conception of time is."
"Great. Well, I'm wearing a watch, and it is now 10:06. We're 6 minutes late. I think it would be great if we started now."
"Zora, I hear you, and I'm here for you."
God, don't. All the adults suck so bad.
Thank God.
So bad.
"Hey, Cliff, we're about to start, dude. You can leave now. You don't have to, like, stick around."
Do you want me to go, Lane?"
I don't know. I feel like maybe this might be kind of weird if it's just, like, you and a bunch of kids, like, hanging out."
"Okay. Message received.
Is that, I don't know, like, what's everybody else, like, I don't want to make, like, decisions or whatever, but..."
"No, it's..."
"Cliff, don't you have a fire to get thrown into?"
Oh, shit.
Cliff stands and silently leaves the house.
"Oh.
Yeah, I think we talked about the clock thing, so, can we just, get started? There shouldn't be much to talk about, right? The camp burned down and we all, did what the adults couldn't do."
There is kind of something else we need to talk about, and it's that Cliff is fucking Lane's mom."
"Shut up, dude. Oh my God. You have to stop talking."
"What is really funny?"
Jedediah says, "It seems as though we have begun now. I brought everybody here because I know that CJ here has been going through some things, and I'm sure all of you in your own way have been going through some things. I was hoping that Candy would join us. She elected not to, but we have everyone else here." Eli is sitting quietly in the corner, like, not interacting with anybody.
Oh, Lane gets fully jump scared. Fuck. Jesus, I didn't know we would be here.
His look has changed drastically in the last year. He used to be Edgelord Supreme in all black. He's veered in more of a ska direction. Got a little more color in his wardrobe. He's wearing,
like, checkered pants,
tight white button up, and a skinny tie.
God.
And some checkered pants.
A ska direction. So funny.
I think Hiller points and goes, "Wait, who the fuck is that?"
It's me. It's Eli. Sorry.
Jeez, you could have warned a guy.
Knife Kid? The fuck?
Oh, can
what
we...
What happened to you?
Can we just use any other name? Like, I know I... Just not Knife Guy, not Bow and Arrow Kid. Just... Can I just be Eli today? Is that cool?
Yeah, dude.
I know, like, I have no place to ask anything. I get that. I've talked to you all. I've written you all letters. I fucked up real bad, and I know that, and I didn't want to not be here, but if it's better for me to not be here, I'll bounce. I'm out." Jedediah holds up his hands and says, "I feel like we're off to a rough start here. I know I sprung this on all of you. How about we just hang out, sit quietly for a while, I'll throw on the TV, and we can all just be in each other's company. We are not in camp. Everyone is safe here. We can just be in each other's presence. I haven't turned on this television ever. I'm very curious to see how it works."
He's not lying.
Jedediah goes over and turns on the TV. It takes him a second to figure out how, but the TV cranks on. You hear that of an
ooh,
old TV,
yeah, that
turning on
sound,
like the tubes. Mm. And,
that sounds tasty.
Yeah.
Oh God, the 700 Club is on.
Actually, it is the...
Oh, it's the morning.
It is the local news that is on. Okay.
It's the morning.
This is the tail end of the morning news, where they get into just exclusively puff pieces. And you hear one of the news anchors in the middle of a story saying,
"The National Exposition Center, or the NX Center, which is stationed right next to the Cleveland Hopkins International Airport, is happy to be once again unveiling its indoor amusement park. A hit with the kiddos for nearly 25 years, it has been unfortunately out of commission for a few years now. But with the Exposition Center under new management, they're excited to announce the unveiling of the return of the center. We spoke with the new owners of the exposition building, specifically their main backer, Miranda Craven, who is beyond excited to bring back this family-friendly staple to the community."
And as kind of B-roll, just added puffiness to this news story, they put on the ad for the Craven Indoor Amusement Park. This rockin' guitar riff comes on, and you hear with the most explosive, rad 90s graphics.
"So fun, so cool. If you don't join us, then you're a fool. Lights, games, and rides. Spin, fall, and twirl. Try not to hurl. So fun, so cool. Hang with your friends or they'll call you a tool. Enjoy some thrills till it gets dark at Craven's Indoor Amusement Park. Give us a shout. Time's running out without a doubt. Just gotta see the Craven Indoor Amusement Park. Turn around at the Craven Indoor Amusement Park."
Wow, very good.
Oh, God. That's a 7 to hold back another panic attack.
Okay, I will give you the same choice. You can let a panic attack run, but you hide it successfully from everyone.
Oh, this time I'm going to try to hide it. Yeah, this time I'm going to hide it. Yeah.
You are having a rough time of it.
Yeah, as soon as we hear Craven and the fucking guitar solo, it's just like grating on every little nerve.
The ad ends, the jingle ends, and it cuts back to the news story. And they say,
"There were some bumps in the road in the reopening of the park, as there were unexplained incidents regarding some of the electrical equipment. But Miranda Craven assures us that everything is in tip-top working order and will be ready for the park's opening today. Back to you, Bob."
And the newscast continues.
Robin, thank you for the exposition on the Exposition Center.
Yeah, that's great. It's really good.
You're welcome. Jedediah, sensing the change in tone in the room, turns the TV back off and goes, "That was poor timing, and I will never turn this TV on again."
Yeah, was that planned, man? That sucks.
"I'm going to make some tea." And Jedediah walks out, and now it's just the group of you kids.
So, what's everybody been up to since we all almost died? I'll go first. I'm feeling king of the world. Hold me, Jack. Like, paint me like one of your French girls.
Keeper, is Hiller lying? Well, Eddie, is Hiller lying?
Are you lying?
Yes.
Yeah.
This much is clear.
Yeah.
There's been a voice in my head.
Eli raises his hand and goes, "I'm sorry, but did anybody else just watch? There's a fucking Craven building a park in the Exposition Center."
And yeah, dude, and they're not going to go
unexplained
there.
Accidents and what?
I mean, are they related?
I mean, we could have asked Cliff, but y'all kicked him out.
Hold on. I'm going to call Cliff. He's probably home by now. I go try to find a landline to call home.
Oh, God, do we really need that?
As you are passing the front window to look for a phone, you see that Cliff is sitting in the car.
Oh,
in front of the house.
God. Okay, I go outside.
Jesus Christ, the man is unstoppable.
I go outside and I tap on the window.
The window rolls down.
A little crank.
With a crank. Lane, is the meeting over already?
No, can you come back in for a second?
Sure.
We need,
yeah, I can come in.
We need you for exposition.
Cliff comes back in.
Oh, look. You came back.
Hey, Cliff. How you doing?
Not great.
That's great. So we have a question for you. What do you know about this exposition indoor amusement park center? It said that it was backed by a woman named Miranda Craven.
Roll investigate a mystery. That is plus sharp.
Oh, that's not very good. That is a 7.
That is a 7. So you get to ask one of the available questions that you have under investigate a mystery.
Hey, Cliff, do you mind telling me what happened here?
Nice. Very well executed. And that, my friends, is called immersion.
Well, Zora, it's funny you should mention. So I'm not exactly super in touch with my extended family. I mean, my grandfather, Archibald Craven, built the camp, but they've always had a bit of a connection to some darker things, which I have been learning more about since the events of last year.
No shit.
I don't know about Miranda specifically. I have never actually met her before, but when she moved into town, she did send me a letter, and he starts rooting around in his pockets. I think I have it around here.
That's, like, really convenient for you to just have that in your pocket.
Well, I had the idea that you all would bond at this meeting and become friends, and then, well, with the letter, Miranda gave me a free pass for me and any people I'd like to bring with me to the park.
This sucks, man.
Do you have to be there?
Can everyone be quiet for, like, 1 second? Thank you so much.
It's hard.
I know. Especially for you. So, my question is, what did the letter say? Is that something you're able to tell us?
Yeah. The letter just said, hey, I know that you had some difficulties recently, and would you like to talk about it? I'm trying to use the family money for something different, and gave me this pass. No, CJ, it does not have my name on it.
Thank God.
If you all wanted to go without me, you could. I don't know anything about any mishaps, but from my understanding, where cravens go, bad things tend to follow.
I think we should go.
Why?
I mean, you saw those rides. They look pretty good.
Since last year, I've just been doing a lot of reading, and as much as I don't want to spend time with Lane and Hiller.
Eli's like, I really thought I was going to be on that list, but
yeah,
cool.
I was kind of surprised to be at the top of it, but here we are.
That felt very targeted towards Lane and not me, so I'm a little surprised about that.
I hit CJ with a few arrows, and I think you too.
That's true.
I've worked out those things in therapy. Like I said, when I was in Mastermind Academy, mind, body, spirit, we worked through a lot of that stuff. But we also learned that we do not have to offer forgiveness to people who don't deserve it.
God, Lane is red.
I'm just interested. Interesting coincidence, I guess, that we're all here together and that's what they played on the news. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we should all go home. But if we're not gonna, I don't know, talk about what happened, maybe an outing together could be good for us.
Yeah, I've kind of been researching too. I mean, not as much book stuff, but more like talking to people. A lot of them think I'm high now, but you know, I've been asking around.
Wait, do you think that there are monsters at the amusement park?
I'm not saying we should go, like, headfirst into monsters. We don't know what's going on. There wasn't anything about that ad that indicated monsters. And I know that Cliff was saying, like, wherever cravens go, there's bad stuff or whatever. But I do think that instead of sitting around here, I don't know, maybe we can go on some rides together, and I'm a little bit interested. Is no one else a little bit interested, especially after last year? Maybe it's my way of coping with things. But I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Hiller, I guess if you want to go, we can go.
I'll be right back. CJ heads upstairs, tucks a couple knives in his bag, grabs brass knuckles, pulls back the loose floorboard in his room, pulls out Zip, the rifle, comes downstairs, looks at the group and goes, let's go do it.
Shit, you have
a
gun?
That's a fucking gun.
whoa.
What? Cauliflower, what the fuck is your problem?
Dude, you're not
Why
supposed
are you bringing
to have
a gun
that.
To an amusement
That's super
park?
Illegal, man.
You all were implying that this is going to be the same as camp, so I'm just prepared.
Dude, I mean, I just brought like some knives or something. A gun's kind of taking it to the next level, right?
No, I have a gun.
Oh, fuck. You...
So matter of fact.
Okay, yeah, I guess if we're going to go, we should just go and get it over with. Hiller, are you sure you want to go?
Eddie. Hey, man. What?
You want to know what's out there, Eddie?
Darkness, loneliness.
Adventurity.
Oh, shit. All right.
Let's get up to some mischief.
Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. I was thinking of winning a stuffed animal. So, let's fucking go. I've seen Big a few too many times. Maybe we can talk to a fortune teller machine and I can turn into a big boy. Yeah, fuck it. Why not?
This episode of Magehand High Five is sponsored by Multitude Productions and their actual play podcast, Join the Party, as part of their Direct Creator Support Initiative. Multitude Productions believes that podcasts are for people, not corporations, and that the actual play community is full of incredible creators telling some of the most imaginative stories in all of entertainment. Multitude offers high quality and affordable production services and consulting to help podcast creators of any size capitalize on their own successes. Join the Party is an actual play podcast focused on genre-pushing storytelling and celebrating the artistry of its cast and collaborators, as well as being a love letter to the art form of actual play. Join the Party has multiple seasons available now, with stories ranging from swashbuckling pirate tales in a world of plants and bugs to a weird summer camp beset by monsters. Here's looking at you, Camp Craven fans. Tune in every Tuesday for new episodes of Join the Party. And who knows, if we're your third favorite actual play, they might just become your first or second. We hope you'll check out Multitude and Join the Party at jointhepartypod.com or connect with them at Join the Party Pod on Instagram, Blue Sky, Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. Also, be sure to let them know that Magehand High Five sent you and that their Direct Creator Support Initiative is working. And with that, on with the show.
Do you love audio fiction stories like Welcome to Night Vale or Old Gods of Appalachia? Are you looking for your next favorite podcast?
Or maybe you love actual play shows like Critical Role, but don't always have time to sit down to a 3-hour show with hundreds upon hundreds of episodes.
Then you'll love The Adventures of Bud and Herb, a podcast that is made to binge with episodes around 30 minutes of non-stop, irreverent, yet wholesome fun set in an immersive fantasy world.
Follow along as best friends Bud and Herb, that's us, race against time to find an elusive, monstrous cryptid that has snatched a little boy from our idyllic little town of Mistress Glen.
I'm Bud, the deep gnome rogue.
And I'm Herb, the turtle folk barbarian chef. Each episode, we dig deeper into the mystery of the Cinderwood Walker.
A beast so terrifying it can kill with only its stench. Find out if we live to smell tomorrow.
Listen to The Adventures of Bud and Herb wherever cryptids hide.
Or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games? If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to.
Okay, yeah, I guess, Cliff, can you maybe, like, drive us and, I don't know, like, if you want to go, you can go, but maybe not, like, hang out with us? Like, I don't know, can you, like, go get a hot dog or something?
Yeah, I'll get a hot dog for a few hours.
Yeah, and then maybe if we go to get a hot dog, you could go get, like, some cotton candy.
I will try to non-awkwardly keep an eye on you so I can just never be where you are at any given time.
That'd be really cool. Thanks, man.
Okay, is there any work, any investigating that anyone wants to do before this evening when you head to the park?
Let's say I have, like, a network of people that I sell drugs and forgeries to, and I think maybe... I feel like Lane would have maybe sold drugs to, like, a super senior who was a carny or something like that. Can I like go to someone's house and ask what kind of issues the park had, like, as it was being put together?
So you roll up to one of your oldest contacts who you've always kind of wondered, like, this is a full adult. Can't he just, like, get drugs on his own?
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, you're his hookup. This is Sonny Argento.
Cool.
Sonny is, yeah, he's a carny. He's a roustabout who actually just so happened to be over hire installing rides at the Craven Indoor Amusement Park.
Cool.
So now you get to go ahead and roll Investigate a Mystery.
Oh, no. That's also Snake Eyes. So that's a 2 Ooh. Plus 3 is a 5.
Make sure you mark your experience. If you get below a 6.
Oh, yeah. Appreciate it, because I have gotten a couple of those now.
You could use a luck point.
You could use one of your luck points.
Use luck.
Yeah, I'll use a luck point about it. Let's say I use a luck point to make that a 12.
Okay.
Ooh.
So mark off one of your 3 luck points. Once you run out of luck, things start going badly for you.
Yup. Am I going by myself, or is anybody else coming along on this?
I think Hiller is, like, dragging his feet and, like, just sort of shows up next to Lane.
Great. I think that happens right as Sonny's about to open the door. So Lane's like, oh, hey, man, I didn't expect you to come. Thanks for coming. Oh, shit. Hey, Sonny. Hey, what's up, man? This is Hiller.
Hey, hi. What's up?
Hey, sorry.
You're not.
No,
what you,
this is
what,
like
why
a,
are you here?
This
what
is
you...
not like a sketchy thing or whatever.
Okay, we I just... thought that I, yeah, sorry. Wasn't
no,
expecting
dude,
to
we're
see
cool.
anybody
like,
today.
We're all paid
I thought
up.
I was like,
no. We're so good. We're paid up for last month. We're so good. I just actually
sorry,
I wanted
to... Sorry,
I
just had a work thing that just, like, really fucked me up.
No, you're
and
fine.
So I'm kind of...
You're okay.
I mean,
you've
got something to mellow
like,
me out. That'd be awesome, but...
Or... Yeah, I mean... no. Here. Here. Come here. Just, hey, one of these on the house. And then I like, pop him an anxiety pill. And then just say, hey, you actually had some questions about... we're going to that amusement park later today that y'all have been working on.
Ooh.
And I'm kind of just curious, like... What kind of weird shit's been going on there?
Okay, so I was setting up one of the rides. It's one of those, like, indoor, I mean, the whole thing's indoor, but this is its own contained little building inside the building. It's called Abduction Avenue, and it's supposed to be this spooky alien abduction ride. And, I mean, something was short-circuiting in there, and I went in to check it out. And, man, you're not going to believe me when I tell you this.
You'd
but,
be surprised,
like,
man.
Straight up, something in there that is not supposed to be able to move jumped out at me. And he unbuttons his shirt and pulls it open, and he has a nasty clawed mark across his chest.
Oh, shit. Are you okay, dude?
Damn.
I mean, like, no. Physically, I'll be all right, but mentally, I'm, like, bad, man.
Oh, that's, like,
fucked up, dude. Here, have another one. I give him another Xanax.
Oh, dude. But yeah, there's some animatronics in the ride, and like they move a little bit. They kind of do jump scare things. Like they're not, I mean, it's a little spooky if you get spooked by that kind of thing, but it's really not supposed to be dangerous. But this one moved off the track. It was like its eyes were real or something. And it just like got me right across the chest. But the fucking Miss Craven lady was like, I'm sure it'll be fine. And gave me like extra pay and a few days off to like, I don't know, get over it.
Jesus. When was this?
Yeah, this was just yesterday. They had loaded up pretty much everything by this point, and we were just making sure that all the rides were operational. Even the fucking jingle guy had his whole setup in there. So like we were basically ready to go, which I wonder if that's part of why they were so eager to just let things open up, because they were so close to the park opening.
Question, if people were going, what would you say to those people?
Don't.
Okay. You know what? That makes sense. Of course. Anything else?
Cosmically, I feel like I'm not allowed to answer any more of your questions. Like some higher power is preventing me from doing so.
Interesting. What if I told you I was a cop?
The door slams in your face.
Dude, are you fucking kidding me? I sell drugs to this guy. You can't pretend to be a cop.
All right, Zora and CJ, what are you up to?
Zora, do you know where we could maybe find like plans for the convention center?
I don't know. Honestly, my dad's office.
Oh yeah, your dad's like mayor now.
Yeah.
They gotta have plans.
Yeah, he was also the city's head contractor at one point, and he still gets involved a little bit. So he would probably have something in his office. I think we could, just pop in. And
we could hop in my truck.
Sure.
All right, you all head over to your dad's office. Dad's like, oh, hey, sweetheart, what's...
Hi, Daddy.
What's going on?
This is...
Hi, Mr. Copeland.
Yeah, this is CJ.
What's up?
Hey there, CJ.
I don't know if you remember him at all.
No, I decidedly do not.
We met at camp last year. He messed up his arm. He was going to play for the Zips, and now he can't. But we're just here to, like, do some research, if that's okay with you. We'd love to...
Roll manipulate someone.
Yeah.
So that's plus charm.
Hey... I got an 11 minus 1, which is a 10, which is
nice.
Nice.
Get it, Copeland.
Yeah, Daddy, we're just here to do a research project on the history of this city's important businesses, including like Sid's Barbershop, and also, you know, that rebuilt indoor amusement park?
Yes, I actually... worked with Miss Craven on getting that up and running again. You know what? I'd be happy to let you take a look at the plans. Just between you and me, I should not be showing you this, but anything that gives my little girl a head start is fine with me.
Daddy, your secret's always safe with me.
I'm gonna step out of the office for a little while, do what you need to do, and
wild.
I'll be back in 15 minutes. And the mayor leaves you in his office.
Oh, Jesus.
That's nuts.
Yeah, I mean, can we look over the plans?
Yeah, I have in my, like, tools a haven, and one of them is a lore library. So when you hit the books, like, it can be any type of reference work. I can take a plus one forward to investigate the mystery.
Great. Yeah, use it.
Nice.
So this will be a plus three for me.
And CJ will help.
I'm glad I got that three. It's a 10.
Okay, on a 10. So this is the same information, the same set of questions that you had before, but now you're getting it from a different source.
Right.
And you get two questions on a 10.
Yes. So the questions that I would like to ask about these blueprints are, what happened here and what is being concealed here?
Cool. Okay. Based on what you get from both the blueprints and the information about conversations with the mayor, that are just all together in a single file here. You know that this park used to be operational and it closed solely due to lack of funds. The previous backers just could not financially keep it going. So as far as it seems, the park, as it used to run, devoid of any supernatural influence. And it's with the arrival of Miranda Craven and this new influx of cash that it's coming back into operation. There was apparently some collective questioning from the community over whether this whole endeavor of the park was kind of antiquated, and do we really need this? We'd have to move things out of the convention center's schedule in order to bring the park back. And it was a combined push from Miranda Craven and Jimmy Sparks, the writer of the jingle, to bring back the park. So that's part of what happened here. I think you also get an account from Sonny Argento about the attack on him at Abduction Avenue, but it is written from the perspective of Miranda Craven, who very clearly downplays it as there was a very minor electrical error with one of the animatronics in the Abduction Avenue ride that has since been corrected, and there is no concern of any further flare-ups. As for what is being concealed here, you have a map of the park. It has a listing of all rides that previously existed and all new rides. New rides include Abduction Avenue, a ride called the Dragon Wagon.
That's fun.
Yeah, I like that.
A historical presentation area about the history of the convention center back when they built fighter jets for the two world wars, including one of the first planes that was built at the factory that is on display.
Why do both of these Cravens have connections to military weapons?
And also a game called the Lucky Ducky Squirt and Shoot.
Oh my God.
The Lucky Ducky Squirt and Shoot is the most haunted ride of them all. I'll tell you that right now.
It definitely
I'll
is.
Tell you that right. Oh, it's not even a ride, but it's the most haunted one.
The other thing that you discover in the what is being concealed here is that there were multiple requests coming from the Craven offices asking for more generator capacity and electrical capacity.
Yo, Zora, be cool. And CJ rolls up the map and throws it in his bag.
What are you doing?
Maybe this will come in handy.
Those are my dad's.
Okay, now they're ours.
At least...
we'll bring it back.
At least find something else to replace it so he doesn't notice that it's gone.
I look around for another large piece of paper. In his office.
I don't know if we need to start. Let me look at the list of basic moves to see if...
I don't know.
Act under pressure. How about we act under pressure?
We've only got... He said he would be back in 1 minute. So hurry up. He's very prompt. That's where I get it from.
That's a seven.
Okay, as you are placing the paper in with the rest of the stuff, just as you are like closing the file, Zora's dad opens the door and says, got everything you need, kids?
Yeah, thanks, dude.
Sure thing. You have a good rest of your day, sweetie.
Thanks, Daddy.
And as the two of you walk out, Zora heads out first, and Mayor Copeland grabs your arm as you are starting to step out. Mr. McAllister, was it?
Yes, sir.
I just want you to know that me and my boys are going to be keeping an eye on you. I don't want you doing anything untoward, especially when you're in the company of my daughter. So I and my boys in blue will be watching you.
I know it comes with the territory. I know it comes with the territory of my dad being the mayor, and I hate it.
I know. I'm so sorry.
It sucks.
It sucks real bad.
It makes sense.
That's a politician.
Yeah, you got it, sir.
Okay. So the two groups have reconvened. You've gathered all of your information together. You've shared between you. Is there any other investigating or research or chicanery that you want to get up to before everybody heads to the park?
I think we could go to the park, but I think I would like to check the outside of the park against the plans.
Sure. Sounds good.
Like to see if there's, and I think that's something I'll be doing inside as well, seeing if there's physical differences.
All right. You drive up to the gargantuan parking lot for the National Exposition Center. The center is a massive slab of a building. Just this boring as hell gray box with National Exposition Center in gigantic, individually light up block letters all the way across the side of the building. Like an IKEA, if it was gray and the word IKEA was like 12 letters long.
Dude, Hillary, they really made this thing look fun.
The only distinguishing feature of this building is that peeking out from the top is a glass curved, not quite a dome, but it's just high enough above the roof that you can see the top of a Ferris wheel sticking out from the building. And otherwise, you might hear some faint music coming through.
Yeah, they really did their best to make this place not look foreboding or anything.
There's a crash of lightning.
What the fuck?
On a completely not rainy day, just some heat lightning. Lightning.
God.
That's a lot.
What the hell?
That's like really a lot.
Okay.
Maybe let's hurry up and get inside.
Okay, so you are at the parking lot outside the park. CJ, you wanted to scope the place out?
Yeah, just kind of walk the perimeter.
I'm going to say this is read a bad situation. So roll plus sharp.
I have a minus one to sharp, believe it or
not.
Unless. Is this fairy related?
This is not fairy related.
Well, that's a snake eyes. That's a two.
God. Why are you rolling so badly? Go ahead and mark yourself with the experience.
Hey,
that sucks.
Hell yeah.
So you are walking around the building. You see the front entrance. Everything looks normal there. And you're going around the back and you're like, oh God, this map is so weird and hard to read. I could have sworn there was another way in. And you aren't looking at the world around you as you're trying to navigate this blueprint. And you're walking past a garbage bin where there are some seagulls poking around looking for food. And you crash right into a seagull and it starts flying at you, feathers flying everywhere. And it grabs the map and flies off with it.
Oh my God.
What?
Hey, cheers.
What the fuck?
Holy
shit. That sucks. Hey,
did we all see that?
No, it was around the side of the building.
Okay.
Oh my God. I want to kick your ass so bad. Is there a way to inflict damage on someone without being like too damaging? Like, I just want to like punch him.
I mean, you could just say you punch him.
Great. So Zora punches him in the chest.
Ow!
There was one thing.
What the hell, Zora?
There was one thing.
Lane, do you think they're going to kiss?
I think they definitely are going to kiss. We should... Okay, listen. What if we got them tickets on the Ferris wheel right in front of us? And we'll get tickets on the Ferris wheel behind them, and then we just get to, like, watch what happens.
Yeah,
so
that'd
you
be
guys
cool.
can be gay? So you what? Guys can be gay?
No. No,
that's
I don't know
crazy.
What you're talking about.
That was me, Hadi, not Zora.
What?
I mean, like, yeah, no, for sure. Like, but, like, with Hiller, no. Like, we're fine.
That's, cool. That's so weird. We're
Hiller's
like,
just, like, bros.
We're like friends.
Yeah.
Well... Now that happened, why don't we just go inside or something?
Yeah, let's enter the building.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Please.
You head into the Craven Indoor Amusement Park.
Yeah.
The second you pass through the doorway, it is a cacophony, just an unending din of screaming children, prize bells dinging, people trying to speak in microphones or megaphones, and it's just kind of all adding to the noise. There may be music playing somewhere. It's very unclear. It's all just congealed together into this sound that is constant and everywhere. There are so many lights in this place. There are the overhead lights up at the ceiling where there is scaffolding. And every single piece of kiosks, of rides, porta potties, benches, everything has fluorescent bulbs all over it. It's like a feast of electronic lights everywhere.
Oh, Lane is so overstimulated immediately and just like completely clams up and stops talking.
CJ pulls out sunglasses.
Cliff says, "Well, children, I'm going to go get a hot dog." And he heads over towards a big glowing sign that just says cold beer in all caps. So taking a look across the park now, you can see a whole range of things. You see what has to be Jimmy Sparks, who has this white hair and a white goatee, setting up his microphone with this little kid with a Game Boy camera in it.
Oh,
just following
yeah.
him around. And he's yelling at some 19-year-old about, like, he's missing cables for his audio setup or something. And right behind him is this giant World War I fighter jet.
Whoa.
You see the cold beer sign I mentioned. The Ferris wheel is unmistakable. There's a carousel. There's the crazy cars, Dodgems. You see the Lucky Ducky squirt and shoot. And the person working there is someone you recognize. Miss Candy Kasama.
Oh. Judas, oh. No.
Also, there's a seashell. There's somebody with a trained seal who is bouncing a basketball around to the tune of Space Jam music.
Oh, no, and he's inside? Shit. That's so sad.
Does he have, like, water?
I mean, yeah, there's a big pool next to him. Yeah.
Okay, that's, like, a little better.
And you are free to explore.
Okay, so maybe this is just me, but I think we can enjoy the whole park, but maybe we just avoid Abduction Avenue, the Dragon Wagon, historical presentation arena, about the convention center, and the Lucky Ducky squirt and shoot. Otherwise, I think we're good.
Is anyone else seeing the one person in our group that didn't show up to our little Alcoholics Anonymous meeting?
Eddie, when you look over, your intent is to go point over at Candy, and you see, with a big thing of cotton candy, you just catch it from the corner of your eye. Someone with long dark hair and an oversized gray hoodie. You just catch it really quickly, and then you look again, and she's not there.
Oh, what in the fuckity shit?
You good, dude?
Huh?
You good?
I'm always good, baby. I want to look at that seal Space Jam. Whoa! Woo! All right. Hiller starts making his way for the seal. Like, completely 180-ing what he just said to do.
The Space Jam theme ends, and they start playing Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Oh, shit. Hiller starts walking faster.
I think Lane says to the other two, "Hey, I'm gonna see what's up with Hiller. Maybe if you two want to talk to Candy."
Don't tell me what to do, Lane.
Oh, okay.
CJ, let's go talk to Candy.
What the hell's wrong with you?
Lane just stands there for a second, thinking about how loud the lights are, and then follows Hiller.
On your way following Hiller, you get intercepted.
Oh, great.
Lane DeMar? Lane DeMar? Lane DeMar! Ah! And this gangly kid, who's probably a couple years or older than you, you're pretty sure he's already graduated. You know him as Cooper Lynch. Everybody calls him Coop. He's got thick, thick glasses that are taped in the middle. He's got like a utility belt of oversized gadgets that he carries around with him all the time. He's been a client of yours for a hot minute. For quite some time.
Oh, Coop.
Lane DeMar! Hey, I did not think this would be your kind of place. I'm into it from it like, I mean, it's like big machines. It's like the coolest thing ever. But like, why are you here? I figured you'd be like, I don't know, having a party.
Oh,
in your mind.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's always a party. Yeah, I don't know. I just got some friends here. I figured like it's a new place. Just kind of kicking around. How are you doing, Coop?
Oh, I am having a good time. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to like a carnival or like a place with a bunch of rides before. Doesn't it always have that weird vibe, like everything could just fall apart at any minute and you're like not sure if you trust anybody who built anything?
Yeah, I'm actually really nervous about that a lot of the time. Have you seen anything kind of like, just like, I don't know, I heard some like weird shit about this place and like, I don't know, I mean, I heard it from Sunny, so take it with a grain of salt, I guess, but like, have you heard anything about like weird shit going on? Have you seen anything weird?
You want to roll investigate a mystery?
I want to roll manipulate someone, but I'll roll investigate. I'll roll either way.
I mean, if you are asking for Coop to do something for you, that would be manipulate someone.
I might ask him to do something for me in a minute.
Okay.
Oh, that's a double six plus two. So that is a 14.
14, ooh. Yes. You get two questions and they can be anything you want to ask.
All right. Dude, yeah. Have you seen anything like sketchy happen in any of the rides?
I mean, not yet, but I heard some stuff.
What'd you hear?
You know what? I wrote it down and Cooper pulls out a Palm Pilot.
Oh shit, you
made
got
it
one of
1996.
Those. That's cool. Really cool. Those are hot shit.
So I saw this one kid who went on the Mouse Mania ride and he could have sworn. He was like yelling at his dad and he said that one of the mouse cars was looking at him funny. And another kid, he's going to get some cotton candy and he passed by one of those, that game with one of the, like, you squirt something into a little target and you try to get your little, like, duck to move faster across the thing.
Oh, God, is it the Lucky Duck squirt and shoot?
Yeah, that was it.
Oh, God, okay.
Yeah, he said something that, like the duck started turning around and going back the way it came and its eyes got big and weird.
Okay, that's...
Like, I don't know if everybody's just having a collective trip.
I mean, it's... definitely possible. Like, I don't know if something got into the water, but have you seen Candy doing anything weird? Like, how long has she been here?
This is our first day, I think.
Okay. Hey, listen, if I got you, like, a hookup for a little bit, would you be down to do me a favor or two?
What kind of favor are we talking?
You think you could find out where they run the lights?
Roll manipulate someone.
That is only a 6.
Ooh. Hey, is this... Look, I heard some things. Like, when you've been making deals with people, you've been talking about some weird shit. Is this some of that weird shit?
Dude, it's not weird shit. I know, like, people have been talking about stuff, but it's not... People don't understand. I've just been broadening my interests a little bit. And, like...
Are you broadening your interest into some weird shit?
Sure, man. I don't know. Does it matter?
No. I gotta go make a call. And he just bolts.
Oh, that sucks.
Eddie.
Yeah?
You're heading over to the sea show.
Yeah.
It's really cute. The seal's, like, making little kisses every time that seal says the word kiss.
Baby.
It's charming as hell.
No, this is far too much.
We don't have the rights for this. I'm going to have to start bleeping that, like, 5 seconds in.
Are you looking for anything in particular around here?
I feel like a lot of Hiller's telepathy has been, like, whispers constantly from... Mm-hmm. around him is sort of like, it's not exactly something he can turn off. I think he can tune into specific whispers, but I think there's just whispers going on all the time. And a lot of time he's talking in order to try and silence those.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think right now that like he ran off and then realized, oh, being by myself isn't great because I can't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And now I'm in a giant crowd full of people like thought whispering at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think he's like at the seal thing, whatever enclosure they have around the seal, and it, like, he's just sort of eye twitching, like, I don't know what to do now, I'm overloaded.
So you're sitting on the bleachers trying to watch the seal show.
Yeah.
And out of the bleachers around you, these blue flowers are sprouting up one by one.
Oh God, Georgia O'Keeffe.
You see them like sprouting up around the kids sitting near you and no one else is acknowledging them. You hear a crackling in the speaker that is right behind you that's supposed to be projecting what the SEAL trainer is saying. And you hear, instead of that, you hear... One of the kids next to you looks back at that. This is not just in your head.
Wait. Hey, you, kid.
Huh?
What's your name? Never mind. You hear that.
Lawrence.
Okay, hi, Lawrence. That was... Okay. Did you hear that?
Yeah, the thingy made a sing-songy sound. It was weird.
Okay. I don't know what to ask you now. Okay, so it's not just me. Cool. Hey, kid, have you ever... Never mind. I'm gonna go, because talking to kids is weird.
Okay.
do you have family that you... Like, are you with family? Like, should you go and be with your family right now?
He looks over at his dad, who is just watching you have this conversation.
Oh, my God.
Okay. Hi, Lawrence Sr. I'm going to leave your kid and you alone, and I'm going to fuck right off.
Yeah.
I'm going to go. Awesome. Hey, you have a great day. Eddie, trips down the bleachers and fully, like scrambles away.
I think... As Eddie's scrambling away, I think Lane's also scrambling away, not looking where they're going. And I think they literally collide with each other in mutual states of ADHD panic. Dude, it sucks here.
Yeah, let's go.
Zora, you head over to the Lucky Ducky Squirt and Shoot.
Lucky Ducky Squirt and Shoot.
It's so cursed.
You see Candy is... pulling down a prize for a kid who won the race. This is one of those games where there's a winner every time because it's just whoever wins the race of the group.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, congratulations, there's been another winner. Here's a lucky ducky for a lucky ducky. And hands it over to the kid and then makes eyes with you and just stops. Still holding the duck out to the kid, but not... far enough for the kid to reach it, and it's just this awkward moment between the two of them as the kid's just reaching, trying to get it.
Sora goes and just picks up the duck and gives it to the kid and then just turns to face Candy and is like, hi, Candy. Long time no see.
Zora.
When'd you start working here?
This is my first shift, actually. Sorry I missed the thing today. I thought it would suck, so I didn't want to go.
So you cowered out.
Sure, yeah. I just thought that, none of you ever wanted to see me again, and so that was fine.
Candy, what would make you think that?
I threw... Lane's stepdad in a fire.
Not
and
Lane's
then
stepdad.
I lit a building on fire while you all were in it. And then I hit Hiller upside the head and he stopped moving. I kind of sucked.
That's true.
Yeah.
So I feel like maybe you owe me a little bit of information. Why don't you take your break now?
Roll manipulate someone.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Come on, Zora.
Big money. 10.
Nice.
Not with a minus one.
That's good.
Yeah. 10? That's great. Good. Yeah.
Great.
She's like, I don't actually have anyone to take over for me, but I'm just going to close the Lucky Duck Squirt and Shoot because who fucking cares?
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah. And there's three kids lined up who are like, hey, there's a whole fucking park. Go do something else, okay?
Go get a hot dog.
We're going to get corn dogs.
The kids head over to the cold beer sign.
You walk over toward the corn dogs and you see Cliff go shit and run away.
So, Candy, I know it's your first day, but you must have had training or something. I was wondering if you could tell me a little bit about the Lucky Ducky squirt and shoot.
Roll investigative mystery.
I've heard I've heard some weird things about that attraction. All right, 9. So
9. Okay.
I can ask.
You get one question.
So, Candy, what is being concealed here?
Okay, what a wild question, but I actually kind of have an answer. So here's the deal. I'm kind of like zoning out while doing this job, but I noticed before one of the games started, one of the ducks just started moving on its own. And that was kind of freaky. And like, I almost thought that I was just like going crazy or something and didn't know what I was looking at, but it looked like the duck suddenly had like ears, like cute little like puffy ears on it that it didn't have before, and its eyes got bigger. But then when the game started and they started squirting at it, the duck had a jolt of electricity and stopped working. And I heard this weird sound. It was like this little sing-songy voice and a laugh. That duck hasn't worked since. So like, you know, easy money for the game or whatever if anybody tries to pick that spot, because the duck's never gonna move. But I mean, if you're saying what's being concealed, I guess the fact that if you try to play duck number 3, you're not gonna win.
So can I get Candy to take me back to the game and use one of my expert moves to try and see what happens?
Yeah,
I have an expert move that is precise strike. Mm-hmm. Instead of striking, you know, the regular part of the game, can I use one of my weapons to try and aim at that specific duck and see what happens?
Sure, I will allow that.
I'm nervous now.
You got this, Zora.
You head over. The place is still closed. And Candy's like shooing kids away to give you some privacy. Mm-hmm. She's like, mostly I just want this interaction to end. So just like do the weird thing you want to do and then go away. Mm-hmm. Because you're not rolling to specifically cause harm, I'm just going to say you can do this. So what weapon are you using?
My blessed knife.
Nice.
Your blessed knife. Okay. You hold up your knife. It glows with holy energy. I don't know how you got this thing, but that's neither here nor there. It hits the duck. Mm-hmm. Doesn't seem to do anything. The duck is charred almost beyond recognition. Like it is busted and was before you threw the knife. What you don't notice is that up above you, on the display sign saying Lucky Duck Squirt and Shoot, there is another duck with fluorescent bulbs for eyes.
I just gotta chill.
The duck's eyes change from a warm yellow to an angry red.
Oh my God.
And the sign itself, cracking along the neckline, turns to look down at you. CJ.
Oh.
CJ, what are you doing?
CJ is singularly focused on killing some monsters.
Yeah.
He's going to go head down to where he knows something happened at Abduction Avenue.
Mm. Cool.
And he's kind of mumbling along the way of just, who she thinks she is speaking, making me do things, thinking of, you know, what is she doing? How do you know? Zora freaking loose. Copeland.
Abduction Avenue looks like a smaller version of the convention center itself. It's like a square mini building inside the building. And there's people lined up like any other ride. And it takes individual cars of 2 that disappear into a doorway and travel through this dark ride. You hear screams from inside. And then people come out the other side, like, kind of shaken. Do you want to get in line to go on the ride, or do you want to do some sort of other move?
I think first CJ is going to go to one of the people that just got off the ride to mm-hmm.
Hey, what did you see in there?
This really bro-y dude, he's like, dude, I love like haunted houses and things, and like they never get me. They seriously like never get me. And this one I was like, it's all just like machines. There's nothing that's gonna surprise me about this. But like, check it out, Derek. So like I go in and you know it's the usual like you hear the speakers and they're like rah, and like something just kind of like comes out on a spring and doesn't get anywhere near you. Yeah. And you're like, like that kind of spooked me a little bit, but not really, because I'm like, look at me. I mean, I'm jacked, whatever. So, but then I come around this one bend and the speaker's like fucking wrong, man. It just like, it starts crackling and I hear this laughter and then I'm like, what is that? And I look over the speaker and the speaker like fucking popped off. It nearly beamed me right in the skull. And I saw these two eyes and I could have fucking sworn, man, I thought I saw a beak in there. And this thing was like laughing at me. This is like some next level fucking machinery, dude. It freaked me the fuck out. This place is awesome.
You want to go again?
Fucking yeah, dude. Let's do it.
Let's go.
All right, you hop in line and get on the ride?
Yeah.
Okay.
The second we get to the dark, CJ's gonna stick his hand in his pants and pull out a couple bullets to load the gun.
Whoa, dude, I didn't think that this was that kind of...
No.
I mean, I'm down to party, but, like, what is this?
I think there might be a monster here, so, like, just go with it.
What?
He loads the rifle.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Roll read a bad situation.
That's a six. Oh, do I?
That feels luck worthy.
Yeah, I'll use a luck point because also I think my special luck ability will also come in extra handy here.
Okay, so you get an automatic success.
Automatic 12.
So you have three, you get answers to three questions here.
I guess I'll go with kind of what's there. What's the biggest threat? Are there any dangers we haven't noticed? And what's the best way to protect the victims?
Okay.
And then my luck skill for my playbook is when you spend a point of luck, you find a dangerous lead on your prey.
Mm.
Okay. You come around. It's just like this guy explained. There's very run-of-the-mill jump scare, spring-loaded alien things coming at you that are very obviously fake looking. Like, this is all meant to be carted into a box and put on a truck. So, like, it all kind of looks shitty. But you hear scuttling and you see there's something very small that's been like zipping back and forth around the car. You see like the slight glow of its eyes. You hear this sound that it keeps making. And you see coming around the corner, there is one alien where the rubber coating on it has been stripped off and there is loose metal with sharp edges. You see there, it's sparking and this shape climbs up and you see the sparks start to glow brighter as it seems to be digging into the machine. And as it does, the eyes on this thing start to light up and it starts to grow little ears on either side. So you see that it is preparing this machine to leap out at you.
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm scared.
Let's do it.
CJ shoots the alien.
Ooh. Roll to kick some ass.
The one thing I'm good at.
We'll see.
Is this a fairy?
No.
It's a seven.
You confidently raise your gun, line up your shot, and fire. There's an explosion of metal and sparks as you blow a hole in the center of its chest. And in response, the machine reaches forward, the springs holding it against the wall, pulling, growing more and more taut, and rip out of its enclosure. It extends far beyond the limitations of the movement of the machine on this ride. It leaps up into the air, lands on the car that you are sitting in, locked in place. It raises one large mechanical metal arm and swipes down at you. And that is where we'll pick up next time. Thank you so much for listening to the first part of our two-part sequel, Carnival of Craven. Come back on October 23rd for the thrilling conclusion. Want to show your support for our show? Want to hear us talk more about it? Then check out our Patreon at patreon.com/magehandhighfive for the tiniest, teensiest, smallest baby $5 a month. You can get in on the down low and get all kinds of behind-the-scenes goodies, including our special second podcast, Mage Hand Down Low, where we talk about the behind-the-scenes of the episodes. We have a special one coming up where we are talking about both Terror at Camp Craven and Carnival of Craven with our special guest, Imani Russell, of course. So now is the perfect time to get in on the down low and join all of our fantastic patrons. The Craven Indoor Amusement Park jingle was written by me, Robin Langenhop, and our composer, Jacob Kersner. And as always, our Mage Hand High Five logo was done by Shane Smith. Check out our website at www.magehandhighfive.com and look for us all across the beautiful social media landscape. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Discord, and wherever else we may be, we're going to be there at magehandhighfive. Go to your podcatcher of choice and throw a 5-star review our way, as the prophecy has foretold. And now I'm going to shout out all of our subscribers on Patreon in the traditional single breath. Morgan Faber, Kathleen Ayers, Andrew, Kellen Wilbur, Trout Relief, Chronic Dreamer, Patrick Hickman, Debbie, Nathan Ritter, Chicken Too Tasty, Evan Noon, Avery Spar, A.M. Lovelies, Allison DeVelvis, Doss Carpenter, Diana Bacon, Al Forestoki, Liz Spar, Carrie Lee, Jonathan Gunn, Tyler Gardner, Elda Soul, Julata Pang, Laura, Al, Chloe Utley, and Sammy Richardson. I tripped right at the beginning there, and I was really worried I was not gonna make it. Tell your friends about the show. Tell your foes about the show. What friends? You only have foes. Everyone's after you. Everyone knows all of your secrets. We know all of them. And one of the ones we know best is how much you love this show because you use the hashtag MHH5. And hey, how about a high five?